The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Heather Drain is on my show. How cool is that? Now we're sure 2 hours won't fall flat. Heather Drain, when she comes on my show, she's really cool. She tells us all about the movies she has seen. Some of them are very raw. Some are very clean. She knows the stars, the crew, the music, and director too. She knows the stuff that happened way behind the scenes. She'll tell you if the screenplay is a fake, 'cause the movie's just a cheap remake. Heather Drain is on my show. How cool is that? Sure, 2 hours won't fall flat. Heather Drain is on my show. She's here right now. Please receive her as she takes a bow. Heather Drain.
Who else has been on this show that has their own song? Ho! All right, has their own lyrics then, if not their own song. I follow through, don't I? I tell you when people are going to be here, and poof, like magic, they show up. And the Drain will be with us, and boy, is that a bunch of talking you're gonna wanna remember for the rest of your gosh darn life. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And this is Atolo Chronicles for November something. What are we? It's the 14th of November. I'm slating it, I know. You can put this one in the time capsule if you like. We'll be here for as long as we want to be here. So stick around. ¶¶ art of broadcasting. I am the third man, the vegetable man. And the godfather of internet radio. Don't you forget it. Tell everybody out there that has a podcast where it started. Let's get going. To Ice Cap from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Here we are at Cotolo Chronicles. Today's show is brought to you by Premier's Pain Spray. That's right. It's a miracle in every bottle. It helps temporarily relieve minor aches and pains associated with stiffed joints. I said stiffed? Stiff joints. And more. It contains an herbal formula of purified menthol, peppermint, eucalyptus oil, and botanical extract. That's right. Pain Spray has pleasant menthol aromas. Aromas. More than one menthol aroma? Anyway, it will not stain clothing. So right there. It's worth it. We're talking about pain spray. I even say Spain. Spain spray. If you live in the Iberian Peninsula, it's Spain spray. A miracle in every bottle for your stiff joints, your knee pain, your wrist pain, and your shoulder pain. It helps stop pain temporarily. And it costs, what does it cost? This is a real product, friends, and it is not the sponsor of this show, but I kept this from that show we did, with the Clippers. The Clips, what are they called? Clip joints. Clip joints is right. That's okay. Premier's Pain Spray. I kept this. Oh boy, I should have. There's a picture of it on the advertisement. You know what it says on the bottom in very small print? Perhaps we should use that very small print. I should put that into the opening. You know, one of the standard things I say at the opening of the show. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Okay. This product, and this would work for the show too, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and results may vary. Well, you know, when it comes to results varying, this is the show where results may vary. So, Pain Spray. We used to do so many fake commercials back in the old days, and people used to think those products existed. And when they went to their drugstores or their whatever stores they went to back in those days and asked for them, people would look like, you're crazy. Where'd you hear that? And they said, they said it on the radio. In certainly this event. Here we go. And yes, Heather Train will be here shortly because Skype is working, we hope. Everything is working tonight. Last week, we had a numerous technical problems, but we, of course, we overcame adversity and just went on. Let me tell you, because this stream of guests we're having on, it's coming out great. I guess it was because summer is just, forget it. We're not going to have any more. If the show continues through many more summers or any more summers, we're not going to have any more guests. That's it. I'm done with the guests in the summer because nobody shows up. And people, and not that they don't show up. It's not like they don't stand me up. They just say, I can't make it. And then once in a while, someone says, I can, and I promote them and they don't come on. But those who do, follow through and come on are great. I mean, this time of year is great, to promote things. Now, just to give you an idea, aside from, our talk tonight with Heather Drain, we'll talk about what we're going to talk about there and promote what we're going to promote. But next week, Charles Dennis will be here talking about his new pilot that will start running on YouTube. This is like a whole new channel now, you know. YouTube, actually, you know, I hanged out with young kids for so long, now I don't do much hanging out, but as an older adult, and don't, you know, don't, I've talked about this before, don't get smart with me. And you pick up little things they say in the, I'm looking for the word now. I'm looking for the word. My mind is going. My mind's looking. Fill it in the lexicon. Hey, I mentioned more like jargon. In the jargon of youth's vocabulary. And actually, which is a word, pops up a lot in, Z's, I mean, what is Z's? Generation Z's. Actually, and I told one of them once, I said, well, do you mean because this is a world of digital movement and digital communication, which is virtually? So you're saying actually meaning this is real. This is not being orchestrated by zeros and ones. And they said, what? Frank, you know, you should take your pep pills, Mr. Oldie. But, so anyway, that comes up. Anyway, Charles Dennis will be here and we'll be talking about his new series, which will premiere on YouTube. Also going to premiere on YouTube, Jonathan Geffner will be here. Trillo and Suede, I think at the beginning of December, their series begins on YouTube. Trillo and Suede, in case you don't remember, and I know, I vaguely remember. No, I do. So much has happened so many times, so many weeks go by, right? And, you know, how can you remember everything? Especially these days. You know, in the old days for us are like pre-prestige TV, not pre-cable, but pre-everything else. Pre-all these channels, you know, streaming. Pre-streaming. Just us. That's a long time ago for us. And then you could remember things. You could say, you know, I saw Dr. Popoli on Cthulhu. I heard Dr. Popoli on Cthulhu Chronicles. I did. And, and I remember, I can't wait till he's on again. This time, no, what happens now is people come on. And, you know, it lasts for the next week because the show runs. The Thursday Night Live show runs broadcasts in repeat on a number of other stations a number of times so people can remember or catch it there. And then so, you know, what is the shelf life of remembering what happened on Cthulhu Chronicles the week before? It could be 2 weeks, tops. That's really pushing it. Then when somebody comes on again, I mean, not just me, because I'm here when I'm here. And somebody comes on again, you go, hey, well, this, I know this. Don't I know this person from somewhere? Didn't I get this? You know? Those days are gone. Charles Dennis has been here for many, many, many times. Charles Dennis, in fact, brought onto this show early on. I don't know how many years ago this is. Richard Benjamin, the director and actor of Hollywood. You know, now there are guys I don't even want to mention their names, who do podcasts, people who've done news, people who've done anything, you know, they've been professionals from the mainstream media, as I was years ago, but, I mean, you know, now they're podcasts, and guests are easy to get, you know, no matter who, you can get them. In the days before all that stuff was extremely popular and before everyone walked around with a phone, it was difficult to get somebody to come on to a podcast, because a podcast is a live show like this, a live broadcast from the interweb. And they didn't know who are you? What are you? And then they go, oh, you. Some of them knew me, of course. But then Charles Dennis knew so many people, and he brought a number of people connected to a project he did on a movie called Hard Eight. And he brought on Richard Benjamin and Richard Benjamin's son, who was Richard Benjamin's son was in his movie, Hard Eight. And Paula Prentice, I don't know if Paula Prentice was actually on the show that night, but anyway, we've had people came on because people knew people, and those people who know people are the luckiest people in the world. So we got a difficulty now. You know, they have it easy because they all go, yeah, I'll be on your podcast. And I don't know who I just imitated. That was a generic template of many, no, not a template, it wouldn't be a template. It would be an amalgamation of every imitation of every celebrity ever. Anyway, my name is Frankie Tolman. His name is the title show. So Charles Dennis on the 21st, and then other stuff is coming up, including Gary Popoli. I don't have dates for this yet. Gary Popoli will be here. And who else? Who else? Where's my other note here? Don't forget to replenish your precious bodily fluids. It's something I ask and have asked since the beginning. Was it 20 years, something years ago? Jason Emmerich of the Coconut Monkey Rocket is going to be here when his album is ready. And you know, you don't hear the Coconut Monkey Rocket even mentioned anywhere. No less on radio, and I don't know what's mentioned anymore. I put on FM radio 2 weeks ago while I was in the car driving along. I said, what the hell are they doing? You know, and, you know, it's time and temp. It's, I don't know one, I can't even call them personalities. Let's just say voice. I don't know one voice from another. Even the women sound the same. And they come on and they go, coming up, you know, three, you know, they, whatever it is, classic rock or classic soul or soul rock or alternative classics, whatever. You know, see, you shouldn't gesticulate on radio. Well, things like that happen and you hear them. Can you hear that? I know it's showing up there. Just an annoying noise. Also, Eric and Ryan of Martini Bomb. Now, Martini Bomb is, and Coconut Monkey Rocket are groups that are totally digital, but they use samples and various pieces of music that have already been recorded. They put together wonderful stuff, zany, wonderful stuff. And I wish, well, I know, get a CD so I can listen to them in the car. I used to have a car, my other car, like, you know how many cars I had and which they were. I had a Pathfinder that finally, could not find the path anymore and, you know, corroded. Great car, though. Great car, many years, and someone else had it many years before that, and someone else had it many years before that, and it exploded. It was a great car. And, in it, I had, this is how old, I was a 97. So it had a cassette? No, it didn't have, did it have a CD? Yeah, it had a CD and it had cassettes. That's odd. You don't see that anymore, because no car is gonna have cassettes. In fact, really good cars now, newer versions, models as they're called, they don't have CDs. And I'm like, wait a second. But they have the Bluetooth thing so you can hook in your phone with all your own music and stick it in there. But there's no CDs. I mean, there's no available player for CDs. And, and I don't like that. I have now a Subaru, but it's a 2000 something, six. Which seems new, you know, to me, because I, you know, wake up in the morning, you know, and someone says either on the radio or either on the phone or either someone who stayed over and is next to me says, you know, it's going to be 2020. I can't even see 2020. It's going to be 20. No, it's not. My car is new. I got a 2006 Subaru. Actually, I do that. So we've got them coming up. Coconut Monkey Rocket, Martini Bomb. And, you know, and I mean that from the bottom of my girth. It's going to happen. There's also more, and I just don't have them in the ears. A friend of mine said, who used to listen from like the beginning of the life of this show, way back. Said, I used to love your show, but then you got commercials. And we did for a while. We had some commercials. We had companies. We didn't have paint spray. Now we have, and then they don't even know the paint. Who makes paint spray? I don't even know. I don't know. Premier. What's Premier? Anyway, we had a great shoe store, which you could buy, you know, if you lived in, when was it? Somewhere in Pennsylvania. You could go there to the store, or you could buy through the interweb. This is early on too, where people weren't, not everybody was buying. They weren't knocking down malls because people were buying an Amazon. And, it was, jeans. They sold jeans, just jeans. for short people. Wait a second. It would just, I don't know the measurement, difference, but, and, so, you know, that was that. And we had a couple of other sponsors here and there. We had some people selling ice cream and whatever, books, things, I don't know. But, so my friend says to me, he says, but then you got commercials, and, you know, those, and they drove me nuts, those commercials for candles. So you see, never once was there a commercial, and you know, it's not like you got, not like you could forget a sponsor on this show, because there were, you know, in 20 years, how many were there? And I said, what are you talking about? The candles, those candle commercials, they drove me nuts, and it was like you selling out. Oh, geez, that's what I need, a rebel listener. Selling out, you know? Selling out by getting free pants. But I said, can't there no candles? I never did. And he had to argue with me. Oh no, there were candles. I remember it. You remember it. It's difficult. The consciousness of people, how they, how it works and what have you. But now I got pain spray, brought to you in part by pain spray. Want me to do it again? Before, cause we're a few minutes short. We're going to go to Heather in an undisclosed location. A miracle in every bottle. Boy, this is just, it's amazing. Advertising always amazes me because, people believe things that are written down and are told you over and over and over again. It doesn't matter in every possible way for reasons that, because they want to believe the message. When you want to believe the message and someone tells you a message, it could be a lie inside out, but you believe it because you want to believe it. All of a sudden, I get serious when I'm always serious. That's the problem. So that's one of the problems. People used to say to me, why do you joke around about everything? I said, I don't joke around about anything. Everything I do is serious. And some of it is a twinge. Is it a tinge or a twinge of humor? I accidentally, before I opened up this king-size permanent marker to write onto my notes, you know, do something like this, write, cross out something, notes, you know, these papers I've had for years, they sit here. And I smelled it. These things still smell like, this is a dangerous smell. And I thought about, it says here permanent, highly water, dries quickly, but it doesn't say anything like, please do not inhale. Return, recap, cap, stories in bonus, sharing, I don't know what. There's no danger marker on here. And yet I know, because this is like airplane glue. I'm gonna find the show we did we did a show, and by the way, you're welcome for this wonderful radio over two decades. You are welcome. I'm gonna find the one about my father and I making a model boat or airplane and how we wound up inadvertently getting high from airplane glue with my father and I without even knowing it. Cause in those days they sold airplane glue. The poor people started sniffing it. I think people got into a lot of trouble with that too. They stopped because it was dangerous. Kind of like vaping. Oh, that's what Dr. Popoli's going to talk to us about when he gets here someday. I'll get back in touch with him. In the meantime, in between time, this great broadcast, I remind you that Mary Parr is broadcasting on her YouTube station. She's been on here, and she'll be on again. We'll have Mary Parr on again. I know. We'll find a moment when she can do this, and she'll come back on. We want to do that show. We want to do a show with Periscope and have people call in and all sorts of stuff. We're going to get Mary Parr. In the meantime, if you want to be subscribe to Mary Parr's YouTube. And as far as I know, when you're a member of YouTube, which is now Google, owned by Google, as far as I know, you can subscribe to as many as you like. I think that's true. So you go and subscribe to these people. When you log in, you get to comment and do whatever it is else you want to do. So, Mary Parr is her name. Find her on YouTube. Tell her I sent you. Say, hey, Cotola sent me. And we'll have her on again too. Other people? Yeah, probably too. I'm going to call up my Skype, which, you know what it had to do again? It had to Notification? Wait a second. I think this notification is a new update is available. I don't know. Working from home? I don't know why this works the way it does. Where is Heather? I got to find her. It just doesn't, you know, it had to, believe it or not, it had to, Skype had to re-enter its entire thing into the, I don't know, maybe it was an update. Okay, where is this now? Let's see. Blah, bading. There's Mary right there. Mary is, Isabella is her. Now what happened to my other contact? Here, contacts. And I got here somewhere. Heather Drain. Here she is. What do you mean say hi? With a wave. Why don't I say hi to Heather with a, Heather with a wave? How do I, oh, I can call right now. Couldn't I? What's this? It's another, I don't know about Skype. It's driving me nuts. What is this? Schedule a call. No, I'll call right now if I want. Say hi. I'll wave. I'm waving. Those emoticons drive me out of my mind. More and more and more. Emoticon. I wonder who invented that name. Invented. Who created that name? I don't care. Let's call Heather. Because it's about 9:30. Where she is located, I think it's another day. Updating conversation? What are you talking about? I didn't start yet. Oh, you're waiting for Heather to accept an invitation. Oh, I like this. I like this. To make a con, can I call her anyway? I had her on here. You know, Skype, let's just about Skype. Now Microsoft bought Skype. And a lot of these programs and apps are geared towards people who know what to do immediately for any reason. I mean, you could give them a new app and they just know immediately how to use it. I'm sure this is a big complaint by baby boomers and the generation before them too, because we know that happens. How could you not have, what, add a, create, I don't want a group. How about if I just call her? Hey, it works. I can call her anyway, huh? Beep, beep. This is Heather Drain being called now. Heather isn't online. She's not online because it's only 28 minutes. Okay, now how do I go back, right? Yeah, okay. No answer. Okay, but now we know this, though. We know that when Heather... I'm a few minutes early. So that, you know, that's what that's all about. But when Heather gets online, we'll get Heather. I told you about my books. I tell you about my books every week. And some of you who have read one, go buy another. And some of you who don't know about it, look at the various books and the sites where I tell you to go. And you go there and you read a review or something and then you either like it or don't like it. And what else? All sorts of stuff goes on. And I thank you if you buy it. These books are very cheap and they're all digital. So it's not like this. What's this? Not like you need anything to know. It's just a PDF. When it started, when my books, even this became outdated. When I started selling these books on Amazon and Blurb and Lulu, okay, some of them had to have special devices. Kindle. And at a time you had to, and this stunted sales because if you didn't have a Kindle reader, you couldn't read it. So, you know, that's not right. Then all sorts of stuff had, happened and, you know, it became like a PDF and on your phone you can read a PDF. So you read books on your phones as a PDF if you have Adobe and, you know, you got that. Oh, look at this. It's exactly 9:30. Let's see. She's there now, right? So, and it's always a different sound from that. That's, remember, okay, she is on, okay, she'll be online shortly. Maybe she's getting back from work and it's taking her a couple of minutes. You know, who knows? So, the book thing. Now you can read them anywhere. You could send somebody a PDF, whether you sell it or not. But of course, these things are not in, I don't think, no, they're not encrypted. Are they encrypted? No, they're not. And I'll tell you how I know that. That's not true either, because so even something that's encrypted could be disencrypted. Is that what it is? Disencrypt? Why don't you disencrypt so that you can make copies of it? Which, you know, you fall victim to this. What are you going to do? It's cheap enough as it is, though. And that's the funny thing about pirating. Something so cheap as, like, what, $2.99, and you got to steal it. And it's not just for the fun of it either. But of course, if you add up the $2.99, if you learn how to steal on the web, and if you learn how to steal and you steal something cheap, you could steal any number of things cheap. Before you know it, you're talking about real money, real price. I don't think you can do it with, I was going to say iBots, but that's not it. What are they called? Bitcoins. Hey, there's another thing. And he's not a thing, he's a person. Kurt Brando. Got to get Kurt Brando on again. It's a problem getting Kurt Brando on because he always lives somewhere in the world where the time difference is just so abominable. And by that I mean like really huge, that it's difficult to coordinate when to be on because we're live. And I think in my life I may have recorded two segments of this show and the rest have been live. And I get this emoticon that I wave that's on there. It's waving. It's waving to Heather. And here's a funny thing. When I went to re-enter Heather's connection onto this Skype, there were like 10 Heather drains. And that's 10? 10 Heather drains? Let's see. If I move back and I see my... people group some messages, chats. I don't need chats. No answer, Heather. Here she is right here. And notification, of course, we know is nothing. And I don't know why it didn't transfer all of the connections I had from my other Skype account. And now, bingo, right? Okay. And we have the time difference. We had that down. And Heather... I don't think, I could always check. I hope nothing happened to Heather. But, you know, busy people. I know it happens to me. I get busy. Let's call again. just to hear this sound. Listen to this. What is that? It's a, Now she must be online. She must be ready to be online because, unless, see, what I'm concerned about always is Skype. If it's not Jiggy, Jiggy will forget to tell you if something went wrong, right? Jiggy. And now people are going, who's this Jiggy? this Jiggy Jaguar. Who else can I promote while I'm waiting? The books, I was back in the books, so, I was going to tell you that it was, what are these other icons down here? Share your location? No. Send contacts to this chat? No. What's this? Add files? What files do you put into? And this thing at the end, which you don't even want to hit, it's an ellipsis. Everyone know what an ellipsis, what I'm talking about? No, you know. So, I don't know how I found this out, but the book was being bootlegged. For $2.99, you know, and it didn't matter because if I made, I said, well, you know, maybe that's too much for people. So what do? Make it 80 cents? Because I have news for you. If someone finds a way to steal something and they don't care that $2.99 isn't worth stealing because it's just $2.99, right? Then if it's 80 cents, they'll want to steal the 80 cents. You know, someone who steals. And they might have to steal more of low-cost items to have anything, worth anything, you know? But they'll steal. Steal or steal. Now, why? I mean, it's flattering in one way to think that my books It wasn't all the books, though. That you know, when they were bootlegged, it wasn't all the books. What books are there? I mean, let's look at Amazon, because that's where they were hacked. The books at Amazon are Sweet Shepherd, Man of La Mancha, oh, License to Skill. What's the other one? Oh, the poetry book, Wordsworth Shelley. And it was Sweet Shepherd. So, and that's the bestseller. But, so imagine that someone's going to hack and bootleg something. So they go, well, let's go to the best one. The other ones cost the same amount of money. Now, I think, the poetry book costs practically a lot less. Practically less. Have I mentioned that Tonight Show is brought to you by Premier's Pain Spray? Yeah, I have. I got a pain right now from... You're welcome for the wonderful radio, by the way. There is no update. Someone asked me about what happened to that documentary about your colonoscopy. Because we did a show here the night before the colonoscopy. We had a wonderful show here with my two sons. It is not often that the Jack, the Ray, and the Frank are in one room, no less, broadcasting. But we did a show while I was prepping for a colonoscopy. Part of it, of that day, of the prepping that day, was extensively videoed as I was going through the motions. Not all of them pleasant. And then the next morning, when I went to the to do the procedure, and as many photographs and videos that could be taken in that area, and then afterwards, while I was floating on the stuff they gave me to put me to sleep, so that was called the colonoscopy. And people said, yeah, you know, we listened to the show and then we did this and did that. And then you said this, that, and the other thing. Well, all the footage is there. And I got to say, it's all in the hands of Ray Cotolo, who is the next to busiest person in the entire world. And, you know, when there are deadlines for things you have to do, obviously, and there aren't deadlines, if you're smart, productive, and creative, you do the deadlines before the non-deadlines. And there was no deadline to doing the colonoscopy documentary. I did talk to Ray recently about it, even though we started some other projects. And he's got plenty to do, and he's traveling a lot. So what happened? Well, what happened is he's going to put some stuff together, and we're going to have the colonoscopy. That's going to be up on YouTube, because there is a Cotolo Chronicles YouTube page that you could subscribe to. But, you know, people who have subscribed for years have stayed away. I mean, we haven't done a video, anything, in years. But the ones that are there, if you haven't seen them, are, you know, pretty darn good, according to what people tell me. And funny. And this is how old those videos have become. There's one where I'm playing tennis with myself, okay? I'm on both sides of the court, running back and forth on the court. And Ray Cotolo, the son I just told you about, is helping me, or training. He's the trainer. And he's so little. I know how old he was then, because I lose track. When a kid grows up, it's like when you get old, you don't see the increments. You just see yourself one day as, hey, happy birthday, you're 50. And you go, yeah, there's a picture of you when you were 20. And it's like, what? What? Maybe we're having some kind of Skype. Uh-oh. What if I go to chats? What does it say? And then there's this mouse. What is, you know, there's always something with, there's no answer. No answer. Yeah, you know, I wonder if I should go to one of these, what do they call it? Email thing. Let me go to email. I'm going to go to my Yahoo email. Oh no. So I got to hope all the keys work. Well, why don't you get some good equipment, Frank? Yeah, well, you know, I have good equipment. You know, that's one thing about the whole digital world. You got great equipment it could still go awry. Like, you know, let's see, if I go to Yahoo, let's make sure. Well, there's a million ways to get in touch with me, and yet she doesn't have my phone. My phone story is amazing. I'm going to have to tell that phone story one of these days. I did finally get another phone. I think I told you I had a new cell phone, and then I lost it. And the losing of that, the losing. Oh, look, how am I already attached? How is this already? Oh, no, it isn't. That's weird. Well, everything changes like from day to day. It says it's me, and then it tells me to sign in. Stay signed in. So what? Next. What's next? I got to put in the password if I'm signed in? Wait, hold on. Let me see. Oh! See? You return on the desk, for God's sake. Let's make sure that we didn't get any... No! There's no Heather Drain email. So, Heather Drain's probably having some kind of a... See? Tonight. Look at all these. There are emails. Don't tell me there aren't. There are emails, but there are no Heather Drain. See, now, it's either too sensitive or it doesn't work. What's going on here? Let me call her again. It used to go, what? It's going to say, what? Connecting. Heather isn't online. Now this is, then there's no message there about Heather. So it's just you and me right now. Heather, as we go into our 45th minute, I'm not counting. I can just look. And you know what's, No one changed the time on the clock in the studio. It's getting dark now at like 5 p.m. But it still says 6 p.m. Because no one took the time. It didn't take an hour. No one took the time to take the hour back. I do have my Yahoo open, though, just in case. I wonder if I should... Maybe I could compose and make sure... Because maybe she hits this right away. To Heather? Oh, no. Look what I did. Okay, look what I did, right? No. Here. Now it goes into drafts. Everything changes. It's like you turn around and something goes, oh yeah, this is number 3442. Okay. Here it is. You're on. Everything's on. And here we go. Let's see. Heather. Let me a quick email. Hey babe, where are you? Cannot connect on Skype. Let's see what, oh. Shift! What? No, I don't want to run sticky keys! No, what is going on with this world? What is that? You said, you know what I'm saying? Is it wrong for me to go nuts? Maybe, right? Click the man. Now let's see if we hear from Heather per, I've got all these icons here, per email. Gotta be wondering. The mistake, of course, is like, why didn't we have phone numbers? I don't have Heather's phone. Well, even if I had Heather's phone number, I lost it in my number contacts on the phone I had. But not true. I did lose a few numbers only because I was lazy and I didn't write those numbers in longhand in one of my composition books. Because that's what I do. That's my backup. My backups are handwritten. Ah, here's Heather. Yes. Where is she? Accept. I got an accept. Now I can call. So it was just a matter. Yeah. Now I call. Okay. There's the one.
Bueno.
There's Heather.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've been sitting here for 15 minutes. I swear to God, I have a witness.
What do you mean? You forgot?
I've got a Chuck over there. I'm sure my cats are staring at me somewhere. But oh my God, Frank, here we are.
I know.
I'm so sorry. Like the technological weirdness here.
That's all I've been talking about. It's madness. This and the new Skype, everything is a problem with this stuff, but let's not waste any time and just, here we are together.
Well, look at, we are doers. That's the thing. All of the listeners, listening right now, you must know that Frank and I are doers. You throw a problem at us, we'll say, that's not very nice, but we're still going to do this, David. We're still going to make this happen.
You bet. I'm saying that, you know, true genius, a true professional is somebody who, will overcome adversity. You know, just continue. You'll just do it, right? You know,
absolutely.
You don't walk off stage. If you got a six string guitar and one breaks, you finish that song, for God's sake.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for divas.
How are you, darling? I missed you.
I missed you too. I'm doing good. Are you doing good?
I'm doing well. I'm very busy and you are. I want to tell everybody about everything that you got going because you got the newsletter.
I got the newsletter. I got a book.
I want to talk about that. Is that the one we talked about last time with
Yes, with John Skip.
That's it.
And it's finally the beast is about to be fully born, baby. We are so excited and. It is the Bizarro Encyclopedia of Film, Volume 1, written with myself and the legendary John Skip. And John's an absolutely brilliant writer. Of course, he is one of the godfathers of the splatterpunk horror subgenre. And he's actually that new Creepshow that's been rebooted. Like, he's written one of those episodes. And he's just, he's a great guy and a great writer, and I'm very lucky to have him as a partner. And I think we wanted to create a tome to cinema, you know, that is truly out there, and truly remarkable. And I feel like we've succeeded. And this is just volume one, too. So if anybody's like, oh, what about this movie, that movie? Patience, my babies, patience.
Well, I have to know I know you'll send me the details. So I can hammer this every time I'm on and tell people to get over there and do all sorts of promotion for you guys. Because I'm not that acquainted with John, but personally, of course, but you and I know each other. So I want to get everybody to get over there. When is it going to be available? Give me the details, those at least for now. What?
Well, it's really supposed to be available to purchase later this month.
For Christmas.
Absolutely.
The Christmas season this year. Go ahead, tell more.
If all of the good, film loving boys and girls out there, wouldn't you love to have this book in your stocking? Absolutely. So I don't have, we should have it available via, you know, like Amazon, through Barnes & Noble online and various other places. I will, as soon as we have all of that fully solidified, I'll be sharing all those links on my own social media, as well as you can go to my website, which is mondoheather.com. Pluggity McPluggerton right over here.
No, I did all of it. You were on the blog and everything. Everyone knows Mondo Heather. Yeah, plug all you want. It's important. It's important. And I want to, I want, you know, I'd like to review the book for you too.
Oh, please do. And, do I need to send you any fruit baskets or gifts of wine?
A review copy. It would be
my honor. You of course, you know, I adore you and you're a fantastic writer. And also when I plugged this, tonight, this very recording on my Facebook, I mentioned you, I don't know if you are aware of this, you were the very first podcast host to ever have me on a show.
Yeah, that's because, let me tell you something, I was the very first podcast.
No.
Yeah, yes.
I know it wasn't.
I don't mind slapping myself on the back because we talked about this like with other guests and other people who were on, you know, the first broadcasters on the internet, just a bunch of people Okay, and I was one of them. I was the only one who had a talk show. So I go way back. So some people do know me. But what did you say? You mentioned me, and people said what?
Oh well, we got a lot of likes, and my friend Earl Hill, who's a wonderful local filmmaker and writer in his own right, shared it. So I think we're getting some love, which is phenomenal. I feel very lucky. But yeah, you were the very first person.
Yes.
That still means so much to me. That was a great entrance into the world of appearing on podcasts right there.
I had, when you were live, we're still probably one of the only live shows. You know, it's a podcast. We were, before there had podcasts, we were here live. Back in those days, you couldn't even make a copy. You needed 250, you know, gigs, and you couldn't do it. But let's not talk about history. Let's talk about it. Although it is history, I had you on. You know, I actually had, I had Shannon on twice in this.
Oh, I love that. Shannon, for anybody listening, Shannon is a very near and dear mutual friend of ours, and that's how I got connected to you, Frank.
Right,
Shannon came. Shannon, yeah. And she was telling me about her groovy friend, Frank Cotello. And, I was like, this guy sounds amazing. And I think you and I connected, on MySpace. Is that correct?
Wow. Remember MySpace?
No,
I don't remember how exactly we got together, but, it is really one of those things. I don't know how or what have you, but she's been on twice. And, that was a long time ago. And I've tried to get her here and there, but I mean, she runs around. I don't know. I haven't been able to get in touch with her.
Oh, she's a busy lady. Cause I know she does a lot of freelance writing, especially late. And as you and I know, mm-hmm. as fellow writers who are freelance, it's, that can be a very helter skelter timeline. So,
I tried to get her to do a show at one point, not be a guest, but way back. And she had problems about how she might connect and everything because she has that incredible collection of, I don't even know what to call it. You know, that it's so esoteric, collection of sounds and things and music. And she has a great voice. I told her that she had a great voice, you know, has one.
Oh,
sure.
She does. Absolutely fantastic singer. I've heard her sing everything from like old, like church hymn type stuff.
Yeah,
and
she
for
does.
The record, I managed to not burst into flames, which I was very proud of.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But also like everything to like, you know, like rock and roll, and she can do both just easily. She would probably hate us right now.
Yeah, I know.
So, we love you, Shannon. I don't know if you're listening, but we love you.
She's too busy. here, Cotello Chronicles. I told you Heather Drain would be there here, and she is here. And, we're talking about the book. Tell everyone the title of the book and, a little bit more about it. Cause some people who've not been on listened, to this at times when you were on. I tried to explain, you have on MondoHeather.com, there's a great explanation under about, because Heather is not like, you know, this isn't like, you know, one of the kids is going to take over Entertainment Tonight and talk about everything you hear and everything you see everywhere. Heather is a connoisseur of offbeat and that precious, what is left of the underground, in terms of films and music and everything. So tell everyone, tell them the title of the book and some of the features, that would, interest almost anyone who watches movies, because your stuff is so different.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, the Bizarro Encyclopedia of Film, is basically, it's a tribute, a pay-on, an exploration into exactly what you just said, into offbeat cinema. And, Skip and I, like, we have our main meat of it, our chapters focus on individual films, and we have covered everything from Russ Meyer's Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, to, you know, Phantom of the Paradise, to, you know, newer movies. Like, John has a really great chapter on, The Neon Demon and It Follows. I have a chapter on Annabelle the Love Witch, as well as, like, Alex Terenzi's, Pretty Peaches trilogy and Cafe Flesh. And just all sorts of movies. We have like a really, really great mix of films and genres, because kind of the cool thing is I think most people, when they think of cult cinema or outre cinema, there's only, you know, especially those who are curious but not quite converted yet, you know, they may know about like Rocky Horror, right. Picture Show, or like The Room or something like that. Which those are part of it, but those are films that have also been written about to death. I mean, and I love Rocky Horror Picture Show, but it's like, you know, what we wanted to do was kind of explore films, that either haven't really been written about to death, or if it is like a better known film, like for example, John, one of his chapters is on Barton Fink, the Coen Brothers movie, which is a brilliant movie. His spin on it and his twist on it is unique. And that was something we both were really proud to create with this book, was, you know, a film book that is not only about films that aren't like the others, but also to create a film book that's not like the others.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, I mean, funny, but, you know, a couple of movies you mentioned, people would know immediately. Have you said, because Barton Fink was, you know, it's still on cable here and there, you know, you'll see it. Here and there. And then you mentioned another one, which I think would be recognizable to an average person. But you also mentioned like four of them that just don't get play. And I'm amazed at this, the amount of exposure a person has to so many different streams of movies and documentaries and even Prime. I mean, you could, right? I mean, and there are these spin-off channels that are on TV, Tubi and, I don't know, there's a bunch of them. And they're looking for content and there's I'm amazed that there aren't some of the movies you've talked about and other people talk about that there are still, I mean, there are offbeat movies, but they're bad. I mean, they're just, I don't know why they don't. A lot of the movies you talk about aren't showing up anywhere.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why, one of the reasons why we wanted to do the book, but it's also kind of a reason why I do what I do in general as a writer with nonfiction, is I'm always interested in trying to give light and thought towards artists, whether it's musicians, you know, or filmmakers, you know, who have done something really remarkable, but just aren't getting, you know, the evaluation and appreciation that they deserve. And I hope that's something I succeed at. I try.
You do it great. But the bad thing about it is not, and nothing you do is bad about it. But, someone reads, you know, a terrific piece by you about, you know, one of these really off the beaten track movies and gets a real hunger to see it. And then what? We're still having a problem finding some of these movies. And I can't believe, they're not being shown here and there on, these cable. Well, it's not even cable anymore, right? It's internet. It's, you know, Netflix and Prime.
It's kind of like cable in a different clothing at this point. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny because everybody, including us, we're cord cutters. You know, basically like, okay, we'll keep the, you know, we'll keep cable for the internet, but everything else we'll do like via Roku or whatever. And it's like Netflix and Hulu and et cetera. But now there's like so many channels, right, that if everybody signed up to all those, I mean, you're not really saving any money, you know?
Well, yeah, that's
kind of absurd.
But a lot of people are getting them inside of the cost of the cable. But my point is, for the barrage of movies that cover every I'll give you an example. There probably was a chance on Prime had all sorts, and a whole library of films that they put in the category of Halloween when Halloween came up, okay? And I could think of a lot of them. I don't even know some of the names, and I haven't even seen some of them, but I know that there are so many movies that you've talked about that could have been there. I mean, what has happened to some of these movies that you talk about, as great as they are in their genre and way better than, you know, your regular commercial reviewers and, you know, talk about, where are these movies? This is the time for these movies to, you know, I mean, are they not available? Are they stuck in the courts for copyright or what?
Well, the good news is most of the films that I write about in general, and a good chunk of the films that I wrote, that both John and I wrote about for the Bizarro Encyclopedia Film, is most of them are available in some form or fashion. Like, some of them might not be on streaming, but you could probably get them on DVD. You know, I think the only ones I'm thinking of the top of my head that are a little harder to find that I wrote about was The World's Greatest Sinner, which is the film, Timothy Carey, great character actor, one of the best character actors ever.
I was telling the other night, I was talking because they said, I was promoting your being on here in Panera's. Which is a, okay, you know Panera, that Panera's down there? Okay, fine.
Absolutely.
Start with bread. And I'm telling someone, I couldn't remember his name, but I was talking to them because someone was saying, "Do you ever see Head?" You know, and my son was there, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm trying to keep him up to date with, you know, various things." I said, "Yeah," I said, "The Monkees, they might not know The Monkees because you're 20, but you know," I said, "there's this movie," and he looked it up right on his phone. I said, it has some, he said, "Jack Nicholson wrote this?" He said, he immediately knows, right? Cause he sees it. I said, "Yeah, I told you it was a." And the guy, Bob, he said, "Yeah, Raffles," and okay. Now he wants to see it, you know. There are reasons, even beyond, you don't know about that you'd want to see some of these films because they fit into the chronology of so many people you do know. And that guy, I was talking about that guy. I couldn't remember his name. And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, "Now remember in Head when it was Mike's birthday?" I had to find the scene, you know?
Yes. Oh God, it's such a great scene. Head is such a great movie. That's one I definitely, I haven't written about yet, but I definitely will have to write about at some point because I love it so much.
My friend said, "That guy, I know, yeah, that guy." You see, so it was like, wow, when you bring these things up, there are so many character actors and people who have, you know, gone under the stealth. That's the wrong thing. Under the, what do you go under? The radar. And that guy, did he die last year or the year before?
Oh no. Timothy Carey sadly passed away, back in the 90s.
Oh really?
He's been gone for a while.
See, he's immortal.
I cannot remember the exact year, right now. My brain is saying 96, but I need to double check myself on that. But Timothy Carey was an absolute, just natural force of an actor and director, as evidenced by World's Greatest Sinner. But I managed to see it because, it did air, gosh, probably at this point almost 10 years ago or over 10 years ago on, Turner Classic Movies.
I was going to bring them up too because it came Halloween. They did this Hammer Film Festival. Okay.
Oh, nice. I miss having that channel.
And even having, do you hear what they did? Do you hear what they did?
Well, they took
it away from a whole bunch of subscribers unless you buy the sports package. That
makes no sense. That literally makes no sense.
I know. And there was a big thing on Twitter. I wrote to Ben Mankiewicz, and not that he could do anything, but just to show. And somebody was on Twitter with a petition saying, "This is outrageous. How could they put the two together?" But, you know, it's all about money and downloads or I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, they did this thing. I get it. Without it, I don't know why. I don't have to subscribe to it. But they did all the Hammer stuff, and I love the Hammer stuff, and I grew up with a lot of it too, and I, you know, but I'm going, Jesus, there should be so many other, films. Like last week, they have days. Last week they had a James Cagney, day, and Cagney and I think are somehow connected in our lives, but I saw films I never saw. I mean, early 30s. I thought I saw every Cagney there was to be seen, right? So they have all these films. How come these things, you know, this, Daughter of Blood and Blood Circle and these titles I love, which we never see, and you say they're available one way or another. What do? You go to Amazon and look them up? Do you go to eBay and hope somebody has copies and is auctioning it or what?
Well, I mean, it depends on an individual title. We're really lucky to kind of live in an age where there are a lot of independent labels that are releasing and doing a really beautiful job at that. A lot of, like kind of more obscure cinema, like whether it's horror or adult or, you know, just art house films. One of them's Vinegar Syndrome.
What's like it called? Say it again.
Vinegar Syndrome.
Vinegar?
Syndrome.
Oh, that was correct. Vinegar Syndrome is, mm-hmm. I'm going to write these down and tell people, and we're telling them now too. Vinegar Syndrome is a, like a distribution place? They're really films?
Yeah. They all the films they release, they remaster, like they get the actual film prints and, they've released, everything from Robert Downey Sr.'s, cult classic Putney Swope.
Oh, wow. This one you never see, and that's a real one. I don't mean real.
It's on Blu-ray.
Commercial.
It's on Blu-ray thanks to Vinegar Syndrome. And there's other labels too. There's, you know, Mondo Macabro. There's Arrow.
Boy, Mondo Macabro. I like that. Macabro. What else?
Yeah. Arrow, who are in the UK, but they release stuff over here too.
Now they have websites?
I'm sure there's.
But
there's
again,
others I'm forgetting, I'm sure.
Yeah, but again, what do you do? You put them in search and find,
just Google. Most films, unless you're talking like The Day the Clown Cried or something.
Oh
like
no,
that.
I'm not.
I mean,
no.
Most films you could find copies of at this point. There are films that aren't legally available, because of, like rights lapsing issues. Yeah. But there's always hope, you know, because more and more kind of obscure stuff is getting out there. So I would just say keep searching, you know, and Google is our friend, I guess. I don't know.
Well, in your book, you don't have any an index or something that that would just go out of date or something and tell people. Is there, it's encyclopedia. Cool. Does it have, an area where you could say, well, you know, some of these films are available with this company?
Well, no, we didn't go for that. We do have an index that we're calling our video store.
Oh, that's good.
Which is basically us listing, bizarro films from all genres.
Oh,
that's
good.
The thing, like weird, offbeat, you know, interesting cinema comes in all genres. I mean, we've got dramas, we've got comedies, we've got silent films, you know, et cetera in there. And, we didn't try to do a label index. Things change so fast now. I don't know if I'd really advise it. I feel like, you know, especially like with rights, one thing people are learning, I think the problems of only relying on streaming sources for film is that, you know, places like Netflix lose the rights to things,
right.
You know, or and even services where you might have bought something like through iTunes.
Yeah.
Once they lose the rights, you're screwed. So physical media is your friend, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the whole rights thing, that's all been changed. That's a whole different platform now. It's a whole different world. But a lot of the films are, how is the book? Now, if it's an encyclopedia, does it have that particular format? You go from A to Z in,
No, it's an encyclopedia by our definitions, which is less, you know, brick by brick, like what you think in like an academic encyclopedia and more our encyclopedia. I mean, because after all, we are focusing on bizarro film. We are bizarro people and bizarro writers. So why not make a bizarro approximation?
Exactly. I wouldn't expect it. I was just asking because people aren't going to know. Because it's like if there are really off the beaten track films and people are reading about it, they're not going to know most of the titles. I mean, you're going to be discovering things in your book. So it's not like they sit down, look at the book and go, I'll go to F because that's where Freakoid is and they don't know it, right?
Well,
did I say something you understand or did it with, you know what I mean?
I think it's a very good question, but we're doing things our way. The video store index is alphabetized though, as is the films. Yeah. As far as we have the order of the chapters, that is also alphabetized. So we do honor some tried and true tradition.
and there's so many, this is another thing that the volume, speaking of volume, there's so many that you could do that book and say, well, we know we'll do a volume two because we haven't, have you even touched the surface? Yeah, scratched the surface? I forgot this, how you say
it. No, you're completely, right? You're completely right. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, when Skip and I first started, talking about doing the book, like the genesis of it, we originally had thought about trying to do like the ultimate compendium, but kind of, I think very quickly realized that that would be foolhardy on so many levels, because it would be way too massive.
Yeah, huge.
But also you're always going to forget something, like, but if you have something serialized, you know, that gives you some leeway. And plus I like to think it's kind of a way to honor, cause honestly, one of the best, and I think most important books in cult and sort of outre film cinema history was the series of books called, appropriately enough, Cult Movies by Danny Peary. Huh. And those are definitely worth seeking out. Like, Danny Peary is a great writer and really should be mentioned more when people talk about film writing. But he did those. There were three volumes. And I'm like, that's the way to do it. That's so smart because that gives you leeway to continue exploring. But also, yeah, I mean, listen, everybody's human. Anybody that makes a list, I don't care if they are the most seasoned veteran in the world, you're human. And at the end of the day, you're going to put that list out there and then be like, shit, I forgot. I forgot to say that. It's like going to the store, you know, and you get home and you're like, crap, I forgot, you know. I forgot the kibbles for the dogs or whatever, you know.
So, that's why I don't have dogs, by the way.
Aww.
They would never eat because I'd forget about it. Well, let's talk for a second about the newsletter, because you decided all of a sudden, remember you wrote to me and you said, hey, I'm going to have a newsletter. And I've been telling everybody about the newsletter. So tell me why did you decide? Did you have a massive list, or how did you decide to do it and tell everybody what it does? Cause it could, I mean, I've read it, but you tell them.
Oh, well, thank you. The Mondo Heaven newsletter, it's definitely something still very new. Cause I just put out the third installment literally yesterday. And it's an email, you know, it's available through email. If you're interested, you can email me at heathermariedrain, it's all together, at gmail.com, and I'll get you signed up. But basically, I actually was inspired by another writer, but a prose writer instead, named Autumn Christian, who ironically actually also has written a book with John Skip. So it's like all roads lead to John Skip.
Wow.
But and Autumn's a phenomenal, phenomenal writer. She's like almost like scary. Like, she's so smart, it's like scary almost. Like, she's brilliant. And but she started doing a newsletter, and I subscribed to it. And her newsletter is very different from what I'm doing. So it's not because I mean, she's a prose writer, and she's just, you know, kind of does a lot of like philosophizing about culture, and as well as talking about fiction, and it's good stuff. And it got me to thinking, like, well, wow, like, writers doing a newsletter. Like, she really, her doing that opened my eyes up to the thought of it. And I'm like, well, there are things I want to write about, but I don't feel like not everything has to be an article. Uh-huh. Like, sometimes you just want to write, like, kind of little bits of things. And that's what I've been doing. And so the newsletter gives me a chance to kind of talk about everything from, in this newest issue, in fact, I talk about everything from the band Hawkwind. How you can find a precious type of spirituality, through Robert Calvert, who was the, one of the captains of Hawkwind in the 1970s. And, you know, I have like a little piece about talking about like, you know, being an artist and being creative and how like, you know, you have to, it's important for you as a creative person to, you know, surround yourself with people who get you. And who support you, like, even if they don't always get you, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, because the world's hard, you know, I mean, you know this, like, more than anybody, like,
yeah, that's mildly putting it, that's putting it mildly.
But, because it's a thing, the world isn't, like, built for people like us, which is why it's so important for all of us, you know, creative types to, you know, to just support each other and not undercut or any of that stuff. Just, you know, let's all kick ass together because we're in this mess together. And, but I also use it to highlight articles, like key articles that I've done in the past that didn't really get a lot of attention, but I'm really proud of.
there's a lot of pop culture stuff you can learn from it. And, certainly I can because I haven't, I mean, we're from different generations, but you know, I'm still introduced to things that I was not aware of at the time. And I've been in, you know, underground and professional music and broadcasting and everything. And there's still things I don't know about. That's what I love about your website and stuff, because I get to read things that are fresh to me, right? And they interest me because those are the kind of things that were not published regularly or openly, you know, so back then, because we were always a little off. Off. Hey, how come there's 10 Heather Drains? If you put Heather Drain in Skype, there's like 10 of yous.
I have no idea. There's a lot of namesakes that are not related to me.
Yeah.
I have no connection to. In fact, there was actually a mailing mishap where a friend of mine had mailed me a surprise gift, and like, you know, trying to surprise me, and he found a Heather Drain that lived in Arkansas, but it wasn't me. There's actually another Heather Drain that literally lives like not even like an hour away from where I'm at, like not that far. And luckily, thanks to social media, she found my mother somehow. It was like this convoluted thing where my mom was like, "Where was this?" And but yeah, she was very nice. She was lovely, but it was funny because all the other Heather Drains I've seen out there are like bizarro world. But not like bizarre film, but like, you know, like bizarre comic book alternates of myself where they're just like these really like lovely people, but like, they most of them seem to be like stay at home moms who are religious. Like it's like, which is so not me.
They're not Mondo Heathers.
No.
None of them.
And that's okay. It takes all kinds to make this world go round. So.
So we're here at Cotolla Chronicles. Of course, Heather Drain is with us. Then the book is called Now that's bizarro as in the Superman thing, right?
But way cooler. Yeah. Or way cooler than Superman.
Yeah, because that word came from that, that was one of those pop culture words, a word that, because nobody, right? Bizarro. It was that, opposite. Wasn't that the opposite, Superman?
Yes. Right? Yeah, like bizarro world. And I think, yeah, Star Trek kind of played with that too.
It's amazing how many people don't know what we're talking about. I do that all the time. I tell people when they're listening, I always tell people when they're listening to this show that they should have a little notebook and they, cause we can't stop and, talk about every little name we drop and stuff. And they should take down these names and then go searching for them. Because there are so many things that people don't know about, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's kind of the cool thing about, I think being a writer in general too, whether even if it's fiction too, is there's never a shortage of things to write about and explore. Like even if you take something like film, which I mean, in the worlds of art, I mean, film's like the baby genre or the baby type of way to express. Cause painting, you know, paintings are thousands of year old and music's old and writing's old. You know, film's like the newbie, but even with it being new, like, there'll never be a shortage.
How do you find?
Like, it's not a bottomless pit, but it feels like it.
How do you find social media, especially like Twitter? Has it been how does it work with your world and your fans or people you pick up, new people? How is it working for you in terms of getting into the consciousness of people?
Boy, that's a good question. I always feel like really not adept to answer questions about how anybody's receiving me because I have no idea.
But do people start to follow you?
Judge on that.
Let me ask you this question. Why are you on Twitter because when you have some kind of product, you should be there because there's always going to be some group of people, right, who are going to find out what you do and follow you, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, if I wasn't a writer, I don't know if I'd even be on social media, to be honest.
Yeah, because there are, you know, people are expressing themselves in different ways and what have you, not necessarily for what the original purpose of Twitter had been. But do people who get your newsletter, do they, I mean, they all probably have Twitter, or do they?
Oh, I would. Yeah, no, I would be so lost without it. As and I've been really, really, really lucky and blessed to be like on both Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I'm on all three. To be like connected to some just really amazingly cool and supportive people who just and I'm grateful for every single one of them. I mean, I've always been at the school like, you know, if you've got one person that isn't a blood relative who wants to read anything you've done, that right there, that's better than any award, you know, or anything like that. Sure. Like that is awesome to have that kind of connection with people. So there's some great people out there.
I don't understand, not understand. I don't get having so many, connections. For instance, everybody who has a Twitter, most, I'd say the greater percentage, I don't have any stats in front of me, but Instagram is a Twitter, it's another kind of Twitter, but it's not that much different, right?
Oh, Instagram's, I think, very different in the sense that, I mean, with Instagram, the format is pretty much centered on the visuals, the photograph, and I think the vibe too, I mean, it's, I feel like I see a lot less hostility that people have towards each other on Instagram than I do on Twitter. I think both have their positives and negatives, as does all social media and as does everything tied to humanity, really. Yes. But,
but on my Instagram, if you have, I'll say, so in other words, if you have a Twitter, I opened an Instagram once and then I didn't have a phone. And I realized, well, this is, you know, terrible for a regular computer. It's stupid to have it. It's difficult to do anything on it, you know, because it's built for the mobile gadget, Instagram.
That is an accurate statement.
and Twitter is also more people are, you know, everybody's 99.9% are probably on, you know, doing it on phones but Instagram, I know you can do some videos, but I don't really grasp the difference, why you would need both of those. And people always say, follow me on, and then the list comes out, right? Follow me on Facebook, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, follow me on, and I don't get Instagram. I mean, I just don't get it. So tell me, since you use both, do you get the same people just go to both places, or do you get people who are only Instagrammers? and what?
It's a mix. I would say it's a mix. Like there's a lot of people I'm friends with on there that I'm friends with, you know, on Twitter or Facebook. But there are people that are mainly just on Instagram that I'm connected with too. And there's actually a really kind of cool, like kind of network of people there that are just super tuned into like really cool out there art, whether it's, and that's everything from people that love movies to like, you know, like, illustrators and zine writers. There's one guy who ended up writing a little piece for a zine. Klon, God, I feel like I'm gonna mess up your name. Klon, his first name's Klon, and he's awesome. And but I connected with him originally, I believe, through Instagram. So
okay.
So yeah, no, it's definitely there. And yeah, I mean, I can understand Waldrop, Klon Waldrop. I knew it. Sorry, sir. It's live, though. That's the beauty of listening to anything live.
Yes.
This is raw. Oh,
this is it. We don't edit.
We are sugar in the raw. It's like this will, little badass packets.
This will run like, like 10 times on various, on one specific station, like next week, you know, and people will be listening to it. It'll still sound like it's live. That's what people say, you know, because we don't do editing and stuff like that. Heather Drain has a lot of stuff going for Mondo. Heather is a great place to go. And you, as placed in history or time as some of these gems happen to be, how do you decide what to put into your website or talk about in the, what movies, what music? How do you decide that? And that's the first part of the question. Second part of the question is, where do you find the new weird stuff? Now, first is, well, let's just look at, wait, forget it. Let's not make this complicated. Where do you find new weird stuff? Tell me, you're the excavator of new weird stuff. Where is it?
I'm also the escalator of new weird stuff. I guess it depends on one's definition of new. Because in the spirit of fairness, my wheelhouse is not always lodged into stuff that is current.
Yeah.
And that's something I need to change because there's always great. You know, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, everything's terrible now. Like, no, that's bullshit.
Right.
There's always great art being made.
Right.
That's a continual thing. And people, I think, sometimes get locked down into that dangerous zone of starting to sound like your parents where it's like you're going to bitch about the generation.
Yeah, because people
identify. Like, nobody be that person.
Because so many.
It's not a good look.
Too many people identify themselves with the music and the culture of their time. And so they stick with that, you know?
Right. But then you don't grow. Like, you don't ever want to be that. But
well, a lot of people don't want to grow. But anyway, so go ahead. Fine. What do you do? Do people tell you about things? Do what? What?
I've always been, and ever since I can, actually, as long as I can remember, when I was like a little kid, I'm a researcher and a seeker, I think, by nature. And so I'm always kind of open. It's always like, there's always like a part of me that's always just kind of open to something like, ooh, what's this? And admittedly, a good chunk of the time, I would say it's stuff that's older, but that is overlooked. Mm. And I think part of that too is also, this is going to sound pretentious, but what I do is, I like to think of it as that I'm hopefully planting some kind of seed of preservation. Cause I feel like a lot of stuff that's new out, and I'm not saying I won't write about stuff that's new cause I have and I will, but I tend not to focus on it because there's so many other writers kind of doing that, and God bless them. Like, they need to do that. We need to keep, all art deserves preservation and examination. But I feel like there's like stuff that's from the past that not a lot of people are doing and have done. And so it's kind of, but also just go where my nose follows me. I mean, I could say right now, oh, I only do something from this decade, and then tomorrow I'll be like, oh, wait, but this thing just came out and I got to write about it.
Well, those things that just come out of me, are you listening to various, what is your contact with newer stuff that comes out? I know you're aware when you hear it or when you see it or read of something, but where do you read or hear? Do you listen? Radio is dead. There's so many things, there's so many theaters out there to see things, and yet there's so many things that just don't, get around too. You know, you go out to clubs and see crazy groups if you hear about it. I mean, what do you do? Where do you hear any of this stuff?
It's a mix. I mean, to me, it's like with anything, just keep your eyes near open. And I mean, you could find out something from, you know, hey, one of the benefits of being connected to people with good taste on social media is a lot of times those people will share something and you'll be like, ooh, that looks interesting. Or it can even be something as seemingly innocuous, like a YouTube has that algorithm that will be like YouTube recommended.
Yeah.
And I've actually found really cool stuff that way. It's listening to other podcasts, as well. It's just, it's a mix. It's also reading. Like, that's always the
reading.
Yeah.
What?
That's such a nerdy writer answer, right?
Well, like, what are you reading?
Like, reading is fundamental, people. Come
but,
on.
Yeah. What are you reading though? Where are you finding out these? Or what genres? What do you do? You just look for a weird title? I know some of this sounds lame, but I have the same problem because I'm always looking for the thing that's in between the two things everyone's watching. And I have to look, that's how I know about Prime, the weird documentaries and things they have on Prime, complete movies about, you know, the Toxic Avenger stuff, the Trump, what's the name of that?
Trauma. Yes.
Yeah. There is an entire, I think it's like an hour and a half documentary on them and the movies and the things. Where would you have seen this? You know, it's hard enough to have seen the movies when they came out. So I'm always looking for stuff like that. And I find that the Prestige TV they need so much content that they don't stop half the time. They don't realize they got an underground gem or something, you know, but And as far as books are concerned, I don't know how do you, books are difficult anymore. Publishing has changed entirely. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just want to know how you find some of this great stuff.
I
read Mondo Heather. That's how I find it, but I don't know where to find them when I get it. But how do you?
That's the number one answer is you're better at promoting me than I am with it. But yeah, the number one, go to my website. But
is it that you know people too, though? Where you know, I mean, you go guys like John and other guys and they go, and they'll tell you about something that they read from that particular stream of information that doesn't make it to people like us. Me.
Well, that's why, you know, use social media to an advantage because it's so easy to just see the negatives of it, but the positives of it, and this sounds like an obvious pat answer, but it's true, is connection. Like if you like you see, you know, you have like a friend on Twitter and it's like they'll retweet somebody who's super cool and you can look at their account and be like, ooh, this person is turned on to some good cultural stuff. And use that. I mean, I think sometimes people, it's easy to get soured, and trust me, there's been times, I mean, I've taken a break from social media. It's good to have a break from it too, yeah. But there are advantages to it. I mean, we live in an information age and, you know, the internet is, while it's overwhelming at times, there are some definite advantages to it, especially with finding out about art, I think.
Yeah. There's, sure, because you can surf around and find things, and because so many people have little homes that didn't have those homes before. But you do have to search. You have to look. Let's move on to something like this. Today, commercially, and I only say that because, you know, in the movies, movies released now, of course, it's a whole different industry in itself, okay? But there are still little movies that wind up getting, you know, they don't get awards and stuff like that, but they get some press, they get some push. In that awkward genres that can't be genreized, hey, there's a word. a lot of the movies you talk about that can't be genreized. What is really good out there that it crosses over? What's good now or in the last 5 years that has crossed over that would just be a really great example of one of the underground type movies?
That's hard because that's, again, my wheelhouse is more older movies. But there are some newer movies that I've seen, I thought were really great. Of course, now that you've asked me this, my brain is desperately trying to
I hate when that happens. You know, I know so many, it's like when I'm playing somewhere and I know so many songs, right? And someone goes, can you do, you know, how's your old man? I'm going, you know, they picked the one song, you know, it's like, no, I can't think of a song.
I would say a film that we, watched a few months ago another friend of ours had lent us as this comedy called The Greasy Strangler, which actually John writes about in the book. So
The Greasy, when was that made?
The Greasy Strangler was, I think at this point, four or five years old. I'm actually doing something I never do on a podcast. I'm actually typing this up, but 2016.
Okay, that's new. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, and that film is legit just hilarious, brain-bendingly gross in parts and fascinating in others. And I loved it. And also, it has a really great soundtrack.
Okay, let me write this down. The Greasy. I'm gonna
Greasy
keep...
Strangler.
Strangler.
Okay. Now, what's funny is anybody that's really into cult films are probably thinking that's like an obvious choice. But like I said, my best deep cuts are older films. Mm. So I admit that. That's something I need to work on. I think everybody's got areas of weakness in their repertoire. So, you know, I'm aware of it.
I'll tell you another documentary I saw that I thought of you. There is, It's still out there. I think it's on Prime Order. It's a documentary about the shows, usually local shows, with the crazy hosts, you know, monster hosts, and they play all these, eerie old monster films. I mean, beyond John Zachary, okay, we're talking about people, you know, the names are incredible. I had no idea there are still these shows with these local people who get, you know, create a character and introduce movies. And they're old movies, some of them really cheap and terrible. You know what I'm talking about. Some of them, you know, classic old movies. I'm telling you, there's like men and women out there doing these. I forgot the name of the documentary.
Is it American Scary?
It's what?
Is it American Scary?
Don't remember.
That sounds exactly like the... Because American Scary is a documentary that was made... at this point, it's got to be about 10 years old, if not a little older. But it was made about the horror host phenomenon. Yeah, no, that's...
Maybe that's it.
That is a very good documentary. And it actually features a man I've written about, James Hendricks, who was Commander USA.
I
love him so much. He passed away not too long ago, which is sad. But he's... I'm glad they got to interview him for it. He is a hoot and a half. I love that man.
I couldn't believe how many, I mean, of course, I could believe it, but, you know, you live in one place. And having lived in, New York and the East and stuff, so I obviously knew John Zachary and Shock Theater, and I had no idea that there were, echoes, and that there were other places, other local stations who had these old movies and then got this incredible following and good ratings from putting on. And I don't have it on me, but I had a list of names. I kept writing down the names, you know, Zombie Bob or whatever it was. They were so clever. Some of them, not the Zombie Bob isn't, but it was like, you know, Ghoulicious. And there were these names and there were women who played, you know, vampires and stuff. And they were, most of them were terrible. But we have a guy locally, although, you know, what is local anymore, right? Because Jan Cable, there's a guy named Sven Gulli.
Oh, yeah. You know Sven Gulli? Very familiar with Sven Gulli. Yeah, he's great. And the cool thing, and they acknowledge that in the documentary, is there's a lot of people, like really, really great horror hosts that are more modern, that you use their local public access television facilities to make it. Like one of them is... there's amazing, she's one of my absolute favorites, actually, Penny Dreadful, who did a show called Shilling Shockers, and she's from Massachusetts, and her show was great, and I think that was produced through Public Access. It definitely aired on Public Access.
They still have Public Access? Anyway?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I haven't worked at a Public Access station in years, but no, it still exists, and... you know, that's kind of the cool thing is that with things like the internet and just the way technology advances, I think it's making things more open for people to express themselves, which is phenomenal. It's also a curse because you see a lot of shit out there. But you know, every gift has a curse. Every curse has a gift.
You know, when this show
sunrise sunset.
When this show started, and I'm talking about like when. You know, cable came in. That's when the show started because you were able now to do this kind of stuff because cable ran fast. Before that, you know, you'd have to do something and record it and it would take forever. But anyway, Hi Sullivan, I warned everyone. I said, look, here's this. Already we knew it from the beginning. The best and the worst thing about the internet. Okay. The best thing about the internet is now everybody anywhere has access to some kind of a calling card on this media. You could have a website. You could sell things. You can do stuff, right? Anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Now, the worst thing about the internet is that anybody and everybody can have their own have their own website and have, this is exactly what you're talking about, you know, because everybody can do it. The best and the worst thing are pretty much the same. If anybody can do it, then there's no, you don't need a license or you have to take a test. You don't need talent. You don't need anything. Just get on there. And although a lot of those people have left And you know, talk about podcasts. You know, when podcasts first came out, it got a lot of press, and there were all sorts of things. There were thousands of people doing it right off the bat and really producing it and making it, and some of it was just getting incredible amounts of listeners and downloads. And I guess like 89% of them are gone. They're gone. You there?
Man. Yeah, no, I was just listening. Yeah. That's, I think a lot of it, and I think, cause I'm a realist, but I'm an optimist, is, I think like anything else when it comes to creating something, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it kind of like getting stuff done kind of separates the weak from the herd, you know, it's, mm-hmm. Because it, everything is work. Like, as you, I mean, like I tell you, you've been doing, you know, you've been having your show, for so long and it's amazing is, you know, but it's work. Like, and with podcasting, especially, like depending on what your subject matter is, I mean, sometimes there's a lot of editing that goes involved, a lot of, you know, various amounts of sound quality, from different guests.
Yeah, I'm never going to.
On several occasions.
I'm never going to lie about the lack of work I put into this over the years. I mean, I came from real, you know, regular brick and mortar radio and the things that I've done in show business. This is nothing to it, and I have never looked at this. I think that's another reason why a lot of people left, because they realized how much work went into it that they did. They didn't realize that they could just take it easy on this, in this theater. You can. And, so it was a thing. It was a trend, a fad. And then, you know, and now it's taken over by the people, commercial people. But that, we didn't want to get into that. That's a horrible, horrible area. I don't want to go there.
No. But I will say,
I have too many enemies.
the cool thing about what you do, and also just cool thing about the internet is like, think about it. That's how all of us have gotten to know each other. And
yeah.
Like I got to connect to you through Shannon.
Absolutely.
You connected me, to the fabulous artist D, who I adore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
So that's, you know, that's what it is. Life in general is all about connecting.
Everybody found one another, and they wouldn't have. You know, in the older days when I was into small press, I connected with so many people and found people that were, you never would have met. So that was the conduit. But, you know, even that was just writing, talking on the phone or what have you. This has been, that's the great side of it. It doesn't put any bucks in your pocket, but, you know, no, you, finding, you know, good people and to share things is priceless.
Absolutely.
He said. But you know, I got one movie out of you, real recent, The Greasy Strangler. I'm trying to.
Oh, well, actually, another one, and this film came out, I believe, in 2009. Which again shows, yes, I know, I need to watch newer movies, more often, but it is absolutely a masterpiece, and it's a film called Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Oh, wow. Beyond the Black Rainbow.
So, yes.
Okay. And these are regular, these are movies came out, right? Like regular.
They got DVD and Blu-ray releases.
And what about this one? Who do we know in this, or who should we know?
Well, it was directed by a gentleman named Panos Cosmatos, who now probably has.
Is that his real name?
It is.
Is he Greek? Is that Greek?
I would assume.
Panos Cosmatos.
I don't know the man personally.
What a great name. Panos Cosmatos?
Cosmatos, yes. And actually his father was also a director and would go on to make the movie Tombstone, among many others. So it's in the family, but, he's probably better now. Panos is probably better known now for making, the Nicolas Cage movie Mandy, which got a lot of press and a lot of, love on it. I actually still haven't seen Mandy, but I have seen Beyond the Black Rainbow, and it's a film that I love and champion, so much. It's absolutely one of a kind. It's brilliant. It's challenging. The soundtrack is amazing. I love it very, very much. I think it's just incredibly intelligent. It's a film that I think initially when it came out, it got a more mixed reactions. In fact, what's funny is, it is one of the chapters in the Bizarro book, and that's my chapter. And it wasn't going to be in the book originally, but John found out how much I love that movie, and he didn't like it. But he was intrigued because he's like, you know, I didn't care for it, but I know you love it. I want to see your take. I want to see this film how you would see it, kind of thing. Which I think is cool. You know, that's why, like, that's the beauty of film writing, I think, in general, too, is that, you know, every writer's different. So, you know, some people, you know, get territorial about films or people, but it's like, no. I mean, you can't have too many great pieces of writing. Not that I'm saying mine's great, but I hope it is. I tried.
Did anyone ever address you negatively about being a critic, especially since, you know, there aren't Heather Drain films and there aren't, you know, you're not involved in film making. Did anyone ever, you know how critics get bad press? That's funny what I just said. I didn't realize that. Your critics get bad press, you know, because it's like, well, you know, critics, they don't do anything.
I will say this. I never call myself a critic. I don't really, I always say just I'm a film and music writer, or just writer in general, because to me the term critic always just sounds so joyless, you know?
It does.
People that are joyless writing about something that you should have a lot of joy about.
But I mean, it came up.
Have I had people get negative? Yes, of course. Okay. I mean, I think you do anything, if you put yourself out there in any kind of way, you're always going to get a few people ranging from politely disagreeing to, oh my God, I'm sorry you weren't hugged enough as a kid. Dude, calm down.
Well, this kid, I just thought of this question because you were saying, here's this movie and I got this chapter. And then John found out I liked it, said, okay, put it in there. And then John didn't like it. And then John wanted to look at it again because he respected you and he wanted to see what,
I still don't know if he's actually rewatched the movie. But he did love it. He did love
it. I hate that crap, said John. Because it is, you know, taste, no accounting for what people see and feel or what they like in films.
But that's kind of a good thing though. I mean, all art is subjective and, one of the things that me and him bonded about, I think early on, was just being of the mindset that even if there's like a piece of art that like I hate and I'm like, oh, I can't stand that, if it brings genuine joy to somebody, I think that's wonderful. I really do. Like, I mean, everybody's all gaga about these Marvel, you know, DC movies, and I could personally give a rat's ass about any of it.
Right.
But I know people that genuinely like love those movies.
Sure.
That makes them happy. And I think that's awesome. I would be more happy if perhaps they were saying that about like, you know, a John Cassavetes movie, but everybody's different and that's fine. Like that's a good thing. Like if we were all homogenized, that would be so bloody boring.
Yeah. But let's face it. If more people were like me, it'd be a better world. No, what about, where do you stand in the CG, you just brought up the probably the biggest moneymakers of all time now are coming from all these, they could even, I mean, who would have ever thought they would find a movie, to put anyone in and it's about the Joker without Batman, all right? Right? What are they looking for? But here's what I want to ask you, where do you stand on the CGI thing?
Well, I'm not a fan. I won't say I'm anti-CGI, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. I am, at my core, a practical effects girl through and through. That said, I've seen movies that implemented and utilized CGI in ways that were really cool and good. I think it's like anything else in the sense that it depends on who's doing it and how it's handled.
So tell me one that you think a movie you thought thrived from having that as opposed to any other kind of special effects.
Well, thrived is a strong word.
Which?
I think the filmmakers that seem to do best with it, in my humble opinion, are ones that integrated it with real, like, actual practical things, too.
Oh, give me an example.
Probably anything Peter Jackson's made post, once he went Hollywood, I should say. Like the Lord of the Rings movies, mm-hmm. King Kong. Those are films that utilize CGI, but yeah. I think were done really well. I mean, Peter Jackson's a great filmmaker. Benicio del Toro is another one. These are men that are great filmmakers, but also understand that, you know, if you're going to have a little bit of CGI, have some practical stuff kind of, you know, to help it. Because that's the problem with CGI is, like, if you use too much of it, it looks like a video game and not like a movie so much. Because right. You can, you know, even a man in a rubber suit, you can look on that and your mind processes that as something that is tactile. You could touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it more real. If something is overly shiny because it's completely digital, you're really in danger of losing that ability, I think, to cross over. But then again, like I said, it also depends on who's doing it and how it's handled. I mean, you know, anything can be art if it's good.
Yeah,
Just make it good, people.
speaking of that guy here, there's a movie I want to ask you about. I liked it. I don't know how much of it was CGI, but I thought it had a foundation of story and theme and metaphor and all that crap, and it became Best Picture of the Year. How did you feel about The Shape of Water?
That's one I'm ashamed to say I have not seen yet. I
want really?
Because I love Benicio del Toro.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I just get, the problem is, like, when you're a film writer, you get backlogged on stuff that you're like, this is my pile of films I want to write about. And that pile is obscene. And one thing I've been trying to break out of that I've developed this bad habit is feeling guilty about watching a film like it's not part of work.
Right.
And I've gotten better about that. In fact, I spent a good part of October with Chuck watching a handful of films that were just for fun. And we watched some amazing films. None of them were Shape of Water, though. I do need to see it. I do want to see it. I think Benicio del Toro is the man.
I was so pleasantly surprised. I did not know what to expect. I heard all these things. When I just learned about it being in existence, I went, oh, I bet you this guy watched The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I had no idea that he, not only did he, but this whole thing came out of that. In other words, if there wasn't The Creature from the Black Lagoon, no less the trilogy itself, he may never have made this. And it's nothing like it, but, you know.
Yeah, he's great. And he's someone that you can tell it, especially in interviews, but even just watching some of his other films, and obviously watching this one too.
What else did he do?
He's done a lot. He did Kronos, Crimson Peak.
No, he did Kronos. He did Kronos, not the old Kronos with the big thing that looked like the monolith. That old, no, that's in that, no, forget it. You don't know that Kronos. I got one. She doesn't know, everyone.
I've never ever claimed to have known everything about anything.
He did Kronos. I don't know what that's. I haven't seen that one. What else did he do?
That was actually his first film. Okay. No, he did Hellboy 2. He did Pacific Rim. It's like I'm having like a flash of images right now. Crimson Peak was the excellent.
Okay, it's all right. It's not a test.
No, Pan's Labyrinth. That's what I was trying to think of.
Which?
Pan's Labyrinth. Benicio del Toro is awesome. Like, everybody should love him. And also, he's a big fan of Ken Russell's The Devils. Which that alone makes me love him, because that's one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that movie still, and that hasn't been shown. And if it's shown, will they show it uncut? I don't know. I have no idea. But we have to, what do we have to do? Write into, I don't know how you, I don't know. Just keep your eyes open. Heather, we've,
Oh, God. Actually, you know what?
No.
I just realized I have to correct myself.
What?
It's Guillermo del Toro. Benicio del Toro is a great actor, though.
But oh, that guy.
Dangerous.
I was going to say, they're different guys. Yeah, I thought in the beginning it was the same guy, but, you know, it's not like Pharos Galbatoros. What was his name? Pharos Galbatoros?
Yeah, Galbatoros.
No, the other guy. Figlos.
Even steep film writers can make mistakes on live podcasts.
It's okay. It's okay. We love you, and we want you to, we know it's difficult because you do a lot of things, and I do a lot of things. But you gotta come on again and give me all that information, and we gotta do some selling of this book, when it's immediately available.
Absolutely. Okay. I will plug it to the highest heavens and shout it at the mountain.
And you'll tell me, because you're gonna tell everybody in the newsletter, of course, you're gonna use that also.
Oh, tremendously.
Because we wanna be, in touch. Everything else okay with you and, Sierra? Everything going fine?
Everything's going great. Just trying to kick ass and take names.
Well, it's good.
And hopefully get the names right. God.
I'm going to have to get your, so we could, here and there, maybe we could talk a text or what have you when stuff goes on. I'm going to have to get your number offline, send it to me, email me or something.
And, yes, absolutely.
You know, be more in touch. Because even tonight it was going like, where's, you know, I had to go to the email. And geez, I don't know if she's going to check her email. Or is. I don't even know your number. I can't even text you. We'll do that. And we'll stay closer in touch. And you can, when was the last time you talked to Shannon?
I can't remember the last time on the phone, but we pretty much email back and forth on a weekly basis. So okay.
I got to get her. You got to get me your email then too, and we'll get in touch there, because we're out of time right now. But it's been great again, and we're going to tell everyone about the book is The Bizarro Encyclopedia of
Film, Volume 1.
That's it. Just film. That's it. Well,
that's all you need.
Bizarro is the key word. We're going to tell you more about it, like we tell you all the other books and everything like that. Heather, again, thanks so much for being here with us to talk, because it always goes so quickly anyway, which is great. That means you're a good guest, but you are a good guest.
Oh, yay. You know? Yay. Thank you. And you are a consummate host. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, well, you know, my consummate is only because of people like you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And now I got you connected on Skype, so stay in touch. You're okay. And say hi to CF for me. And, you know, keep up the good work, because it's great work.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, and you have a wonderful night, my man.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Frank.
Later, dear. Bye. The only other drain you can have on that thing. Ew. Yeah, right to the edge, huh? Yeah. A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff there. I don't want to take all my I got water, notes, and things to take up there. Okay. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man's name adorns the title of the show. Move my mic over here and give it a little volume and do a little stuff here. Hey, next week, Charles Dennis. Hopefully that'll work out okay, and everything is okay, and everything will be okay with you. Go get the books. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Go everywhere. And Heather Drain, MondoHeather.com, and on Twitter at MondoHeather. Don't miss out on stuff you can get for free that really enriches your life. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. It's me, the consummate Cotolo. We'll call it Consummate Cotolo Chronicles. How about that? I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll be back. Wake up! It's night! And I have nothing more to say.